It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickle of death to be with you this Saturday, and every Saturday seems like about the same time. Yes, I am a survivor of the big catfish war up in St. Joseph, Missouri. I think 100, I'm going to go off memory. I was trying to get their website up, and it didn't seem like it was working right for me, but 168 boats, Mark Tobin.
My gosh, that is amazing. I mean, that's a big turnout.
Unbelievable.
You know, Brad Kirkpatrick, one of our Facebook followers, put some video up of the takeoff. That was impressive. They had some aerial footage.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
That showed all the boats. There was, I mean, there was a pile of boats out there.
Yep.
And they caught some big fish.
Oh, yeah. And it was really, the river was dropping. It was tough. It was a lot of dog hair coming down the river. And then the fog set in about midnight, and the guys couldn't, once they were locked in on the spot, they couldn't hardly get back out. I was talking to one of the contestants in there, and he had to do his GPS retracking backwards so he could, you know, couldn't see. Couldn't see 10 yards in front of him. And it was not a conducive situation to catch those blue cats, but those guys sure did it.
How was the weigh-in? I didn't get to go. We had a problem down at our lake house.
There's a guy mad at you about that, too.
Oh.
But the weigh-in was spectacular. Some of the fish that come out of that river, and you just look at them and you go, wow.
What were some of the bigger ones?
One was 89,
oh,
I think, maybe.
I'm going off
gray matter, which is, went away in
That's
the 60s.
That's a problem, right.
And but I think that was what that was. I don't remember exactly, but it was an awful big blue cat, you know, and that guy basically ran south out of the tournament, went to his hole, caught three out of there, I believe is what I was told, and was back, you know, and he wanted to keep him alive, of course, you know, because you can't weigh in dead fish, and weighed a man, and they were in the tank here, and it was quite a viewing spectacular, I thought, you know, it was unbelievable, the turnout, the people, I think it was 5-6 states that showed up there. Alabama, some people, a lot of Iowans, which amazes me, they found their way down there and back.
You know, Fred.
They're just not. They're kind of basic.
I'm steering clear of that. Yeah.
I better not say that. But anyway, it was just, it was really cool. That hole, if you've ever been to that marina, where the parking lot is at French Bottom, I don't know what's there, 2 or 3 acres of ground, and you couldn't find a place to park.
Oh, God, that's cool.
And they were parked clear up on the grass, and it was just spectacular.
The guy that had the big one, the 89-pound or whatever it was, did they win?
I believe I think so. You know, and it took 225 to have a new chance at a Silverado pickup, and I don't remember exact weights, but it was 168 or something. I wish that website was working.
I think it was over 180.
Was it 180?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's not that
that's
far
not,
out.
No, one more good fish.
One more good fish.
Now, the team that won, did they only weigh in three fish?
Not to my brief and limited knowledge.
Okay.
I wouldn't know what it was that they weighed in. It's just crazy. It was unbelievable turnout. It is the largest whiskered fish tournament west of the Mississippi River. Next year, I would go out on a limb if it's this good, and the city of St. Joe put in $10,000 extra money, which was great of them. I would speculate maybe 200 boats next year.
Wow.
And unbelievable. And the river produces blue cats.
Was there any flathead weight in that you knew of?
Yeah,
really?
Was one pretty good size one. I didn't know exactly what he weighed. I saw it, but most of them were blue cats. And unbelievable, on the deal. I'm in the parking lot, standing there belching, passing gas, and making obscene gestures off by myself. And the guy walks over to me, and he said, "You Fred Ramsey?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Where's Mark?"
Oops.
And I said, "Mark is down the lake house. He's had a little problem with his cabin. The roof was leaking or falling in or whatever." And he said, "Well, I drove all the way from Harrisonville
oh,
to
my
meet,
gosh.
meet him. And I said, you don't want to meet him. I said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And he's mad you weren't there.
Well, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I really wanted. I had planned on being there, but then we found out about my roof collapse, so I thought I'd better get down there.
Well, according to him, that didn't matter. You were supposed to be there. By golly, you announced it on the air, and I wanted to meet Mark. I'd met his dad years ago.
Oh.
And I said, well, it's been cool. I said, be in the parking lot. We get off work this morning. We'll see if he's there. But he was mad at you.
Well, I don't blame him. But I said Saturday that I wasn't going to be able to make it down there.
I don't know. But he didn't hear that part of it. Yeah. You know, this is talk radio. People hear what they want to hear, you know.
Well, and tune in and tune out.
Yeah, tune in. I don't blame him. You know. I mean, you think we got any listeners at all?
This early, I don't know why.
Where's everybody going? 4:35 was the zoo out there.
Yeah,
already.
I know.
What's the deal?
I can't. That many people going to work this early, that's terrible on a Saturday morning.
I don't think it's work.
We're losing a little bit of our light.
Yeah, I see that.
Days getting a little shorter.
Shorter and shorter and shorter.
It's still heated up out there, though. Oh, my gosh, it's been miserably hot.
Yeah. Did you guys get any rain down here?
Yeah, it depended on the part of town. Some places got 4 to 5 inches.
Really?
I live out in Blue Springs, and we didn't have that much. We got, some places got 3 inches. We had a little over 2 at my house. So, nice. I mean, we'll take anything we get, because, I mean, everything is crunchy, brown, dried up.
Yeah, well, we live up in Buchanan County, which is right at the edge of the Sahara Desert, I think. You know, we can't buy rain up there.
Have you got any at the Duck Club?
If you did, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, looking at the radar, it looked like you got a couple of rains.
Yeah, I did, and I went up there, and I went, it's so dry. I mean, it just soaked right. If there was, I think we got 2 tenths or 3 tenths or something, you know. Kelly lives over by New Point. I think they got an inch over there, but he lives better than we do, you know, so. They deserve it, you know. But we took a little road tour. You know, this is the time of year I start looking for deer and start looking around quite a little bit, and took a little road tour down through the river bottom the other day. The outside the levee was drowned out, and the inside of the levee was burned up. You know, and you go, my goodness.
You know, one of those kind of years.
Such a shame. And a lot of this corn is done. Just not going to make it.
Bummer.
You know, and who wants to haul, is my old buddy said, who wants to haul it down anyway? Ain't worth nothing.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I thought, well, yeah, that's one way to look at it, a deal. But some of the beans, you know, the later soybeans are going to be okay. You know, they're not going to be great, you know, but the corn, especially if you got what I call marginal ground, and on some of that old sand ground that the flood brought out there in 2011, that corn's about waist high and tousled out, you know, so it's going to not even pay the combine bill or come close, you know. So it's going to be a tough year for farmers, you know. I think the revenue of a farmer, an average farmer right now, down about 50%.
That hurts.
It's just, you know, the problem, a lot of it, but farmers are too good. They're too successful. You know, there's some ground back years ago when I was a kid that would grow 60 bushel corn. Now it's growing 180 bushel corn, you know, because genetics in the seed is a big thing, but time release fertilizer, the spray is better and all that stuff. But farmers, there's too much of a glut on the market here for the deal. What am I eating? You Mark got in here early and cooked, and I eating on to something. One piece I liked a little bit better than the other. Is it two different species here or not?
Yeah, and that would be, I would expect you to like one better than the other. One is blue cat and one is
aha. This is my walleye piece here.
Uh-huh, right.
This is really good. Did you catch this?
Actually, Brother Gary caught that last week. It was 5-pound, 7-ounce walleye.
Whoa.
Nice walleye.
I like
fishing
those
a spoon. Yeah. And it just hit like a freight train. But then it was weird. It just didn't hardly fight at all. That's walleye. That's blue cat. That's our cracked board operator.
Our
just came
cracked
in.
Board operator. Our Jeopardy Jed. Contestant.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him on Jeopardy.
But it was kind of lethargic. Didn't fight. It was almost like he was dying. I mean, he looked healthy, but he just didn't have a lot of fight in him. But like I said, hit real hard. And we were fishing for hybrids and white bass and throwing a spoon out on a flat. And, man, I had a fish hit it again. Just almost took the rod out of my hand. And it was a 6-pound blue cat.
They'll work.
Hitting a spoon, yeah.
We're fun.
They'll hit artificial bait pretty readily.
Sure.
But fishing's just weird. I'm hearing a lot of bad reports this week. I don't know if the water's just gotten too hot or Not as many people out there. Water seems like it's changing a little bit. But
probably both.
Truman is one of the still bright spots. I mean, if you want to catch some fish, it just seems like Truman is the best bet to do that. But it's not everywhere on the lake. From what I've been hearing, talking to Richard Bowling, our guide over there, the lower end of the lake, mid-lake and to the dam, is really way better than the upper ends. And I don't know why that is. I know that they had over 6 inches of rain down there over the week. And it doesn't seem that it's affected the water clarity too much. But for whatever reason, the upper ends, you know, avoid that right now. Give that a little time to settle down. But doing way better mid-lake and on up toward the dam. But
what's the lake level, do you know?
It was yesterday. It was 606 point something, almost a foot high. And they were expecting, with the rain that they had, it might get up to as much as 2 foot high. So that's good. That means they're going to start drawing some water. And whenever they draw water, the fishing is a lot better, not only up on the lake, but down below the dam, too.
Yeah, that ought to turn that hybrid bite on
exactly.
Real good.
You got it, yep.
And that's when you call the boss and say, I'm really sick today, and you go down and throw some top water on there and get that hybrid bite.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it in the Midwest, a hybrid bite.
On top water. They
and
just
then,
explode.
Then you hook them up, and then the fight really starts.
You got
starts.
It. Yep.
It's orgasmic.
And they're catching some now. There's some surface activity going on. But, you know, without the water being drawn to concentrate those fish, they're scattered. But once they start drawing that water, there's specific areas, points, and KK Island, the Weir, places like that, that they will congregate.
Yeah.
And it's just a whole lot easier to catch them.
Yeah. That KK Island just produces and produces.
Year in, year
out.
And just everything. I heard this past week, several walleye been caught around there, people trolling or drifting nightcrawler rigs and hybrids.
Well, you know, we always have this debate and pretty regularly about this walleye initiative that the Missouri Department of Conservation has put in. And now here you come up with this, 5 pound something?
7 ounce, yeah.
7 ounce walleye.
Big walleye.
That's a big walleye. I don't care who you are, you know. So, you know, just as I get mad at them because of between a hybrid and a walleye, that's the only fish I'd really get interested in. It's probably working.
Well, Truman, it sounds like it's working really good. There's a lot of people catching walleye right now. And this has been going on for a few weeks. It doesn't sound like it's hard to catch one right now.
Yeah. Well,
you know, the hardest thing is just putting up with the heat.
Yeah. And it's just been the summer from hell.
It has.
It's just terrible up where we're at. You know, we just still got no moisture, got no ground, you know, water, and it's just absolutely bizarre, you know. And it kind of takes the fun out of things. You get out there in the morning, you're already hot and sweaty and dirty, and the pollen and me. Yesterday, I don't know what that pollen was. Yesterday, my eyes were watering and my throat was burning, and I was a miserable experience. You know.
Well, and no wind. If we just had some wind, that would help.
Wouldn't hurt nothing.
Oh my gosh, it just makes us so miserable.
Yeah. What about Milford?
We're going to have Vic Gertley on. He is a guide on Milford, Lake and Tuttle Creek. He also designs and manufactures different kinds of lures, but we're going to have him on after the bottom of the hour and just get the inside scoop of what's going on there.
Yeah.
They had been catching, in his words, I talked to him 2 weeks ago, and they were catching hybrids by the truckload. That has backed off a little bit. They're still catching some, but it seems like it's early and late. But then again, like he said, there's just not a lot of people out in the middle of the day because it's just been so brutally hot.
Terrible.
So we'll find out what's going on Milford here in just a little
bit. It's just not fun.
No.
I mean, when you're out there in the morning, you got about an hour, 2 hours, maybe two and a half, 3 hours, maybe if you're tough. But it just takes a lot of sting out of you.
Oh, I know.
And
heat. I'm mowing this stuff all day. And if it wasn't for the fact that I could get into my truck and cool down, it would kill me.
Yeah.
Literally.
It literally would. You know, I had a good friend the other day that he mows, and he got dehydrated. Had to go to the emergency room.
Oh, good gosh.
And, you know, that's serious. And they take it real, real serious on the deal. Hey, we are brought to you by my good friends at Highway Trailer Sales, my good friend Terry Lee. And here's what's going on right now, guys. It's not going to be long. You'll be cutting some corn. The guys have already been through the wheat harvest, per se, over in Kansas. And if you got a trailer that's in need of disrepair and you're going to be hauling grain, which is his cup of tea, you'll want to go by and see this guy. He's got sales, service, and parts. He's located at 1850 Southern Road. And they are the best. They're the professionals. You've got Tim Bay unit over there. They'll get you in, get you out. When they do it, it'll be done and done properly and done right. There's no finer human. And I tell you one thing. Go right in there and talk to Terry. He is just, he's El Presidente. His door is open. You can walk right in and shake his hand, and you'll be a friend for life. And he'll stick with you, and he'll make sure that everything you do is right, where you need brakes or wiring or springs underneath those great big trucks. Any guys that are 18-wheeler drivers and you got a truck that's got problems, there's no finer person than Terry Lee, Highway Trailer Sales. Again, they are located at 1850 Southern Road. That's just west of Worlds of Fun off I-435. Phone number for him, this is his mobile. It's 816-769-3658. He wants to talk to you. So if you got a problem, he will fix you, and he will fix it right. Again, his name is Terry Lee. He's president of Highway Trailer Sales. Again, they're located at 1850 Southern Road, right off the 435 up here by Worlds of Fun. Great people, great humans, and can't say enough good things about them. We got to take a little bit of a break. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors, and this is the time of day when I always put the Reed Chevrolet commercial into the radio show because I just love these people. They also now own the Dodge Jeeps franchise up in St. Joseph, Missouri. They bought out Car City Chrysler. And without Trevin, without the people in support of St. Joseph, Missouri, this tournament couldn't have been put on, this Reed Chevrolet Catfish Classic. And I want to thank him from the bottom of my heart. This guy is a fantastic person. If you're in a mode today for a brand new vehicle, whether it be Dodge, Chrysler, Ford, or not Ford, a Chevrolet, then these are the people that you want to do business with. I've never heard of such response. I go in there and hang out a little bit, and the nicest compliments I hear about their staff and the way they treat you. They take all the pressure off of you, non-commissioned salespeople. All they're going to do is help you. And they got a huge, huge, huge selection of both Dodge and Chevrolets. And you're just going to be happy, tickled pink, as they say, to participate with these fantastic people. And if you're looking for a used one, there is no finer people to buy a used vehicle from and up there because they've got such a good inventory of used. But please, if you're in the mode and you want to save a lot of money, and I know the car business get hyped about saving this and saving that. Well, these are facts. And go up there and giggle and laugh. And you know, they treat you with such respect as a customer. And that means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
I hate being hustled.
There's nothing I hate worse.
Yeah, and you go in there, you become friends with your salespeople. Yeah,
absolutely.
When you bought a vehicle up there that day, was you there 2.5 hours? Because,
and we didn't talk. Yeah, we just talked about fishing.
Yeah, we talked about fishing. And the majority of those people up there, their salespeople, are real outdoor enthusiasts.
Yeah, and they don't care if they sell a vehicle.
Yeah,
obviously, they do, but it doesn't make any. And they don't. Again, they don't put any pressure on you, and it's such a relief.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and again, if you don't like that one, you got another one. You know, and if you don't like that one, we'll get you another one. You know,
that's the hardest part is just picking out the one that you want.
Picking out the one you want.
Yeah.
And some of them got $15,000 rebates on them right now. So I can't say enough good things about Reed Chevrolet. So go by, see these fantastic people. You're going to love them. They are as good as it gets. Ain't no doubt about it. So. What'd you say about the video that?
If you have not been to our website, it's Midwest Outdoors Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got three new videos up there that I would love for you all to check out. Two of them are with Jim Kelly, the former Buffalo Bills quarterback. He is a good friend of our show and has been battling cancer for the last 5 or 6 years, and He just received an award. It was called the Jimmy V Award,
mm-hmm.
And he had an acceptance speech. And I put it up on the website because it's very inspirational. This guy has been through so much, from the birth of his son on his Valentine's Day. 4 weeks later, they found out that he had a disease called Krabbe's leukodystrophy and wound up dying at the age of 8.5. Never mm-hmm. spoke a word, but, it really inspired him and his wife, Jill. But this it's tragic to see what has happened to him. This cancer has devastated Jim. And Jim, they coined a phrase when Jim was playing football, Kelly Tough, because he was so tough.
Sure.
Is tough. I say was. He is an incredibly tough man. But so he accepted this award. And the speech that he gave, everybody should have a chance to take a look at this. It's very inspirational again. But then there's a second video that we have up there. When Jim first gets up to do his speech, he's very emotional. And he had a video that they showed before he had his acceptance speech was him talking about his son, Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he talks about his son, he gets real choked up. And that's what I put that up there so you would understand why he was so emotional at the beginning of his acceptance speech. But get up there on our website. Again, it's Midwest Outdoors Sports Radio 810 WHB. Check those out. If you're not a friend of ours, please do. Please like us. The other thing that is up there that I wanted you to see, my youngest son, Garrett, my wife and I's 33rd anniversary was yesterday.
Same woman?
Same woman, 33 huh. years. Huh. And I know it's amazing that she stayed with me this long.
Really.
I married way up.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, in recognition of our anniversary, Garrett sung a song and posted it on there. It was a song that we danced to at our wedding. It was our first, when we did our first dance. It's a song by Lionel Richie.
Wow.
And he put that up there with a couple of pictures of us from back when we got married. And anyway, he put that up there. And love for you to watch that. Garrett has signed up to audition for American Idol in September this year here
in Kansas
City.
Well, he'd probably do it.
So we'll keep you updated. I am real excited about that.
That'll be real exciting. And our producer in here is going to be on Jeopardy. He doesn't even know it yet. Or his mom. Maybe the mother would be better. She answers all of them, does she?
Better choice.
Yeah, she's a pretty sharp cookie.
Is she? You think she can handle it?
I think she would struggle with the nerves. I think she would do fine with the actual application and the questions, but pressing the button so fast and having to deal with Alex Trebek might get to her.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty tough on you. I guess you do like a pregame warm-up type thing, and it's not as bad as what you would think it would be on the deal. So, but... what was Ken Jennings?
Yeah, Ken Jennings was the guy who won for like 43 straight days and won over $1 million. I don't know, maybe my mom does like a good glass of wine every once and again. Maybe we just get her to have a glass of wine and then she could go on calm those
maybe
nerves.
Maybe two glasses.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. I don't drink, so.
What the hey, you know. Well, that'd be cool. That would really be cool. You know. Mark, do you think he could make it on Jeopardy?
Oh, I think absolutely, yeah.
If they had fishing questions, would that?
That might trip him up.
You might run that category.
Yeah,
if it had fishing questions on there and run the whole category,
it would ruin it, actually.
You think so?
I've got something here for you.
Uh-oh.
This is from Kyle Mason, Deer Cows.
Uh-huh.
And, folks, you got to look up Deer Cows, D-E-E-R-C-A-L-S, Deer Cows. They can take any picture that you have, and he'll make a decal on it out of it that you can put on your windshield or the back of your car. Here we go. He designed this just for you.
Well, that's awful nice of him. My goodness. Wow. Closet blue cat lover. I better put that on my truck.
It's a great gift idea.
I don't know about Kyle now. I thought he was a pretty good kid up until this point, but
this is not good radio. But it's a catfish. Kind of looks like a blue heart around it, and it says Closet blue cat lover.
Well, you got to go on the boat.
Yeah.
You know,
with sclerosis of the river.
Sclerosis of the river boat.
Deer Cows, check that out. If it's a great gift idea, any kind of a picture, or he can design just about anything. But it's cool. You can make a sticker and put it on your car. It's what a great keepsake.
Yeah, I got one on the back of my truck now, and I get more comments off that thing. When I had the old truck when we were doing the TV show, and we had American Outdoorsman on the side of it and all the stuff, and I got a lot of comments because it was so gaudy, you know. but I think I've got more off of that decal on the back of my tailgate than I have off anything else. I came out of Perkins the other morning, guy standing there waiting on me. He said, you the guy that does the deal on the radio? I said, no, Mark Tobin is.
Yeah.
He's our main squeeze down there, man. So we stood and talked for an awful lot. This guy might be in the parking lot. I thought, when we get off work here today, if he is, he's going to be mad at you because you were supposed to be there, Mark, at that weigh-in.
Yeah, I would have. But
there's no excuses, Mark.
Well, I was worried about the house, and I had to meet our insurance adjuster down there.
Huh. Was it as bad as you thought it was?
Yeah.
Bad deal.
It's bad.
Whole new roof.
The roof isn't in bad shape. In fact, we're having a hard time figuring out how so much water got in. But we'll probably go ahead because it is an old roof.
You can redo the whole deal, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It only costs money, right?
Yeah, great big sack of money on roofs and the deal. One of the things, I ran into a gentleman the other day, and we had the nicest conversation. I was hanging out at Dick's Baits. I got you a hat from Dick's Baits,
did
too.
You?
Yeah, and I got to get it to you. It's out in my truck. But he said to me, and it made my wheels start turning. He said, Fred, he said, if you wanted to kill a huge whitetail, where do you go? And I said, Kansas. He said, you're right. Ding, 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 ding. He said, if you want quality quail hunting, where do you go? I said, Kansas. He said, ding, 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 you're right again.
True.
He said, if you want good waterfowl shooting, where do you go? I said, Kansas. One of the best duck hunts I've ever been on in my life was in Kansas. He said, if you want great, I guess the pheasant hatch this year in Kansas, too, is absolutely off the chart. But
oh.
He said, you want good pheasant shooting, where do you go? And I said, South Dakota or Kansas. But I said, he said, well, Kansas, he said, you want to catch big walleye, where do you go? Kansas. Do you want to catch big hybrids? Where do you go? Kansas. And he makes
I didn't really stop and think about that.
And he makes a very valid point. I just couldn't argue the point with him. And they do more with less than any conservation department in the United States.
Absolutely true.
And you think about that, and you scratch your head, and you hear the, and not to throw eggs at the MDC, but we got all this money. We're the richest conservation department in America. And, you know, I don't know. You know, it's just, of course, you get Bob Brown and some of the Otter Slough, and they got some of the best waterfowl hunting that there is to offer. But, boy, I don't know what Kansas, they got the Midas touch.
Maybe just the habitat?
I suppose. You know, it's just weird on the deal. You know, something else we got to address, and every time we address this, is CWD. We're going to have to get those guys on. We're going to have to start talking about this. Chronic wasting disease is expanded in several of the counties around. So, anyway.
And this is a low water year. I mean, this can't be good.
This is not good. We got to take a little bit of a break. Who's our guest?
Vic Ertley, professional guide out of Milford and Tuttle Creek.
Well, that ought to be a cool one. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm your host, Fred Ramsey, here with my co-host, Mark Tobin. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I happen to be the host, and in the studio with me, the best fisherman in the United States is Mark Tobin.
Best now that you're only saying that because I gave you some walleye.
That's true. Boy, that walleye is orgasmic.
It is the best.
How's the boat running?
It's
not.
You
get it fixed?
No, I took a trailer down to haul back debris. So I wasn't able to bring my boat back. So I've got to go. I'm going down today just to do that very thing. Mm. And I got to take it to Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine. I don't know. It seems like I might have a fuel problem because it'll run sometimes and then it dies. And I didn't go down there for about a month and a half. And, you know, the problem with the fuels that we have these days is that it has ethanol in it, and ethanol draws moisture out of the air. And I've just got a feeling, I think I had like 3/4 of a tank of gas, maybe a little less. My fuel gauge doesn't work too good. But I just got a feeling. I'm just wondering. I you know, and Dave Hemme and Joe Falco out there, Dave Hemme is the head mechanic. He tells me to keep stable in there, one of those like Seafoam, keep that kind of stuff in with your fuel just to make sure that you know, you don't have fuel-related problems. And that's the biggest problem that they see out there. And I just got a feeling that's what it is because it runs sometimes and then it'll shut down. So anyway, heading to Sportsman's Outfitter Marine and do the same thing, folks. If you have a problem, it's not if you're going to have a problem, it's when you're going to have a problem when you own a boat. Sooner or later, you're going to have a problem. And when that time happens, just keep them in mind. They're out in Belton, last Belton exit. And whether it's repairs on your boat or if you're looking for a good used boat or a new boat, they have Lund. That Lund bass boat is just incredible.
Unbelievable.
And they have the Lund pontoon, and they've got several pontoons out there. I went fishing this past weekend because my boat wasn't running with my brother-in-law and went out on the pontoon. And it's just such a relaxing way to fish. You know, you get used to in a bass boat and you're flying by, you really don't see what's around you. But a pontoon, you just kind of slow down, take it easy, and just such an enjoyable way to spend time on the water.
I just thought you said you'd never be seen in public with your brother-in-law. Is it?
Well, my boat was broke down.
Oh, so now you made buddies with him.
Funny how that happens, isn't it?
Yeah, it really, really is. Hey, we got a brand new sponsor starting in September. It's called HSM Ammunition Company. I'm so looking forward. I'm going to try to get Boyd Metz to come in here to be the spokesman for him. Everybody around Kansas City seems like they know Boyd Metz. And we're going to be talking about their new low recoil ammunition.
Yeah, this sounds so cool.
It is. And I've shot it and I've been shooting it and I'm going to shoot some more of it. And I shoot with some good old boys every once in a while. And I've got them all addicted to it now. Because it's just something about shooting a gun without getting the bejeever shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shocked out of you. And it makes you a better shot. And it's just a great product. And I think... If they, you know, I'm amazed. I talked to an awful lot of guys, and some people readily pick up on HSM. Hunting Shack Munitions is the name of the company out of Stevensville, Montana. And it's basically what I'd call a hand-loaded ammunition. Everything is perfect or it doesn't go out the door. And some of the guys that know about it, but I'm kind of surprised that a lot of the guys that I shoot with didn't know about it.
Well, it just amazes me that you can have that much less recoil but still have knockdown power.
Yeah, and it does say in the fine print of this thing, this bullet is good for about 250 yards on the low recoil of your accuracy. And, it, of course, it's not got the oomph to it going out of the barrel. But, you know, the average deer shot in Missouri or Kansas is probably shot in less than 250 yards. What's the weirdest thing, you know, my buddy Rick at a big four hardware up in St. Joe, I think it's his niece, works for this company, and they've only got like 16 employees or something out there at Stevensville. And now here's a girl from Stansbury, Missouri, working in Stevensville, Montana, loading ammunition. And what a small world.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's just really, really weird on the deal. So what the hey. We got Vic Erling, huh?
Yes, I think so.
Let me punch him up here.
Professional guide, good buddy of mine, lure manufacturer, designer. Vic, how are you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm just doing pretty good, Mr. Mark.
Are you going to go fishing today?
Well, I can't go fishing today because the lure business is too good.
Well, that's but, a good problem.
I'm sure that I'm going to get my time in because I got some last week.
Well, we wanted to talk to you first and foremost. Fred and my favorite fish are hybrids. Or do you call them hybrids or wipers?
I generally call them wipers, but it kind of depends on where you are in the country, what they call them.
Yeah, it seems like on the Missouri side, it's referred to more as a hybrid, and on the Kansas side, referred to more as a wiper.
Wipers.
But,
yeah.
You know, it's such a spectacular fish. So much fun to catch. What's the current status on the hybrid population out there on Milford?
Status on the population at Milford is just we got really big numbers of fish.
Wow.
Oh,
it appears to me that we got more numbers than we've had for years, although I, you know, since I'm not a biologist, I can't document 100% of what's there. But the guys that are really fishing for them are catching them very, very well.
What's the biggest size that they're catching?
Well, I don't know. As far as I know, the biggest one lately has been a 9 something.
Oh, good guys, that's big.
There was one that was a 12 earlier on in the year, but these fish probably average from 3 to 5.5, 6 pounds.
Great size.
Oh no!
And it's just, you know, the thing about a hybrid, you catch one and they just don't quit fighting.
Oh.
They're just so much fun to catch. But now. Yeah. Are they biting right now? We've got this miserably hot weather. How's that affecting the bite?
Well, since it's I haven't had any reports since it really quit being quite as hot. But it was very, very good all spring and into this super hot weather, and I think we're going to have a great time. I think that we're going to know more because we get more people on the water when it's cooler.
Yeah. Sooner or later it will get cooler, I'm hoping.
Yeah, you know, well, it'll be semi-cool this week. And so, at any rate, I think they're going to catch a lot of fish. They kept catching a lot of fish on spoons, you know, things like that. But they're also catching fish on top water.
Oh.
Small to large, what I would call spinner baits, except that they're a lead head with spinner on the back. It's not like a bass lure. It's a deep lure.
Oh, is that what is that called, the Bubba, or is?
Well, yeah, one of them is Bubba, and one of them is Heavy Duty, and I've since the primary bait for that is going to be the Dixie W.
Okay.
The Dixie W has just been released, and it's not 100% coverage in or around, but that's what the new one will be.
Now, where are these lures available?
Probably the best place to get them on Milford is BJ66. It's a convenience store and right below the dam at Milford.
Yeah.
It's right exactly on Highway 77, which is access to just about everywhere
right
on that lake.
So are these hybrids, are they just like an early and late kind of a thing, or can you catch them through the middle of the day?
Sometimes that you can catch them through the day, and I look forward to doing that more as the season goes on. But so far, it's been early and late.
Now, we're getting into the end of July and in August. What kind of places do you look for to find hybrids?
Well, because most of my fishing time is done from the late afternoon or really early into, you know, the early morning hours, I'm fishing. Sometimes I'm fishing as high as 30 foot, but if I'm looking for top fish, you ought to be in maybe 15, 18 foot of water.
Are you just looking for flats or what kind of?
Yeah, basically flats with some kind of a river channel adjacent. If you have maybe there's a place called the Farnham Flats that has a great big creek that is on the top edge of it, and then the river meets it out there. That's
right.
Been a good spot for several years.
How are the white bass doing? I know for years it seemed like it seemed like we really had a downturn in the white bass fishing. How is that now?
Well, I'm going to say that it's, I don't know how to say it, maybe fair to Midland, so to speak. We got a lot of fish coming on. We're going to have huge numbers, but some of those fish are small. But in the last, two or three weeks, a lot of bigger fish have shown up.
Oh, good.
So it is possible to get in an all-white bass topwater bite.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
Sometimes.
I hate it when that happens.
Oh, no, I hate it when that happens. Oh,
is there
what's the shad population? Are you seeing a lot of shad or not?
Big, and I think that's part of the reason that we've had, you know, able to carry the fish we have and still have a tremendous growth. These fish are really, really fat.
Hmm. Well, the white bass kind of took it on the chin there for a while. Was that run alongside?
That was all due to bad spawning conditions.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Huh. Yeah.
Hmm. What about the, we talked about the hybrids, and they increased the limit. It was 2, was it not? Now they've increased it to 5. Is that correct?
Yes, they've increased it to 5. And, there's a lot of people taking 5 fish. I kind of want to make them last and have a lower limit, but I'm not the fishing game.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess, you know, nobody likes change, but my understanding, and I think me and you talked about this, Mark, they maybe want to concentrate more on is making a blue cat fishery.
Is that right, Vic?
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And we have a lot of blue cats, but we have blue cats in a lot of places now. El Dorado seems to catch a bunch. They're catching a bunch out of Milford. Tuttle Creek has got blue cat. And again, I'm not a biologist, so I don't know how they're all going to fare together. But I have a feeling that the wipers are better for the lake than the blue cat is.
I mean, why would they want to increase the number or size of blue cats when there's already so many there? I mean, it seems to me that if you're going to catch a big blue cat, that's more of a specialized kind of a thing, and I don't think that there's near as many people that would be be able to do that, number one, not compared to the number of people that could enjoy the hybrid. So I hate to see anything that would affect the hybrid population on that lake. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Well, basically, I would really agree with that. And I also, since the blue cats is a, it's almost strictly bait. If you got a good shad population, well, it's easy to get bait. Not necessarily a lot of money is spent up and down the lake just because of having blue cat. Not the having them so much as the wanting to produce 100-pound fish.
Yeah.
And that apparently is what their goal is, and big numbers.
You know, Vic, every time we have a fisheries biologist on, and when you talk to them out here in the parking lot, they always talk about these lakes being in balance. I mean, that is their big deal, you know, and I understand that, but I would think blue cat are such ferocious feeders. They eat 24/7 if you could.
And just about anything.
And eat anything. They eat dead, live, it makes no difference to them on a deal. I think that would raise my eyebrows a little bit if they're really going to concentrate on these blue cat.
Well, it certainly makes me feel uneasy at best.
Yeah. We talk about Milford, and at one time I always crowed about the walleye fishery there. Has it kind of peaked maybe and gone down, or is it still good?
The walleye fishery in Milford now is not good at all.
Really?
It's almost impossible to catch a keeping size fish.
Wow, bummer. Sorry to hear that.
Which is, I think they got it at 21 inches.
That's a big fish.
It's a big fish.
I happened to catch three or four the other night on spoons, and I think the biggest fish I caught was 18 inches.
Hmm. Not a bad fish, but not legal.
Yeah. Is it a cycle?
Right. I mean,
is it a cycle?
Well, I mean, it did what now?
Is it a cycle? I mean, what? Maybe this is. Just...
I really don't. I have no clue whether there the spawn doesn't seem to be at the dam.
Hmm.
And they're having the same problems down there at El Dorado getting eggs.
Hmm.
So I don't know how it's all going to work out. They may end up buying them, or who knows what they'll do.
What about the smallmouth bass fishing? Is that been any good?
Smallmouth has been doing very, very well. There are the tournament guys are catching more fish in the 3 to 4 pound class than they have for a long time.
That's good size smallmouth.
Mm. Yes, very good.
What about Tuttle Creek?
I haven't seen a 5 yet this year, but I think might come.
Well, I know you fish Tuttle Creek as well. How's the fishing on Tuttle Creek?
Fishing on Tuttle Creek and the water bag is going down, and everybody's really concerned about all the construction on the dam and all of this. But by and large, we got a lot of white bass, and we got some really big ones.
Like, what's big?
Well, big on a white bass is 18, 19 inches long and up to 3.5. You might even catch a 4.
Oh, my gosh. That's huge.
Best kept secret in America.
Monster.
Yeah.
Monster whites.
I'm amazed. I talked to a lot of fishermen all through the week, and nobody knows about Tuttle Creek.
No, I know it.
And it's right out our back door here in Kansas City.
They're still a pretty good...
The problem with Tuttle Creek, and I fish up there off and on myself, of course, and the Tuttle is access.
Yeah.
Right now they had a little bit of high water, so immediately the Corps pulled their boat dock. So there are only the access. There's only two real ramps on the lake. One is a state-operated ramp. The other one is federal. Federal, it just pulls their dock at a drop in the hat. You know, just if the water's going down, they pull it. If it's going up, they pull it. And with Tuttle, that's pretty regular. And Spillway Marina is a state park, basically. And that is pretty much open all the time. However, they have some dock problems there occasionally too. But if I was traveling long distance and wanted to get a boat in, I would sure go to a state park on what they call Spillway Marina.
Can you still catch a sawguy on that lake?
Yes, you can catch them. They really, right now, they don't have a big population of what I would call keeping fish. But we are going to have a, maybe next year will be a, just a gangbuster year as far as total numbers of ones that you could keep. So I look forward to good stuff on that.
There are zebra mussels in Milford, is that correct?
Yes.
Have you seen, are they causing any kind of a problem?
Well, if they are, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
And yes, they got them. And that was supposedly the big reason why they put blue cats in there in the first place, because they ate zebra mussels.
And that is true.
And I got to say that I was surprised at that and thought that was a, you know, far out thing. But if you catch a little blue cat on a spoon and kind of touch his stomach, it just clicks. Sometimes he's got so many zebra mussels in him.
Yeah, I've caught a few, and I've cleaned them, and they're, and these were in the 3 to 5 pound range, and they're, I don't know why they were eating anything else, because their stomach is just completely packed full of zebra mussels.
Yeah.
So I guess, well, there is a good side to that.
Yeah, they I really don't have very little zebra mussel problems at all on either lake. And Tuttle Creek has had some identified, too. But there's no real huge population in there yet.
Well, now you guide on both lakes. If somebody would like,
yes,
to book a trip with you, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, an easy way to get a hold of me is either call my cell phone, which is 785-539-8408. Or they can get me online at voertle.com.
What's your cell phone number again?
785-539-8408.
I'm going to send you some humans. It's a guy the other day that was asking me about Tuttle Creek and a guide, and I'll get a hold of him and get you guys in touch with each other if I can.
Okay.
If I see him again, I think I will, so.
Now, you make several different lures, too. You make my favorite spoon. Talk about that spoon of yours, why it has such good action.
Well, the spoon that I've developed is simply a combination of all the good working spoons that I've ever used for the, you know, hybrids and whites. And a lot of spoons are going to work. Period. Okay. But this one happens to be a lead spoon, but it's patterned more after the shape of a standard silver flutter spoon that you would see in the Ozarks, you know, like the old Dixie Jets, or I guess maybe some new Dixie Jets now. But at any rate, you know, it is made out of lead, it's powder coated. It has chrome or other flashy material on the outside, and we think it's still a winner. And I know that I sell carloads of them all in, I don't know, 10 states now.
Well, it's so, my favorite for rye bass hybrids, walleye. Yeah. That's my favorite. Well, Vic, we've run out of time. I'm going to put your contact information up on our Facebook page. So if anybody would like to get a hold of you or find out how to get some of your lures, we will send them your way.
Thank you, Vic.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark.
All right. Well, thank you, Vic. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for being with us here. Again, 785-539-8408.
Vic Ertley.
What a great guy.
Yeah,
he doesn't remember meeting me, I know, but I met him one day at that C store down there, and he helped me pick out some spoons, and we caught him.
We need to do this topwater stuff.
Yeah.
Catch a hybrid up on top.
Great guy. Great fishery guy. We are brought to you by King City Lumber in King City, Missouri. If you humans out there would like to have a building, build in the woods, a cabin, maybe a hay barn, a place to park the tractor, or maybe a place for a horsey, then you will need to talk to King City Lumber. They are the best. They are my friends. They are family, basically. I can't say enough good things about these people. Again, kingcitylumber.com. Spend some time on their webpage. You'll be there about 20 minutes. So that wraps it up for this edition of Midwest Outdoors. Goes by fast, doesn't it?
Caught me with my mouth full of fish. Sorry about that. That's and Kelly, right. Kelly texted me while he's eating some bran flakes and said, "Fred's got walleye. What is wrong with that?"
That serves him right.
I said he needs to be here, but he said you just never invite him anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoor.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.